On a community connection on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1, I have the opportunity to talk this morning with Brad Waters and Cliff Wright. They are 2/4 of the Million Dollar Quartet in Branson. And Brad, for Noah Prick, a really good reason, start with you just a little bit. You get to play a guy that, well, all four of you had such a influence on even the music we play today. But Carl Perkins, Mr. Blue Suede Shoes himself, thanks for calling in this morning.
Well, you bet, buddy. Glad to be with you.
It's a fun time, and I think the magic that goes on when you recreate any famous performer, particularly if you happen to look at least a little bit like him or her and sound a lot like him or her, the magic works, and we suspend our disbelief, and all of a sudden you become, in this case, Carl Perkins. It's got to be a lot of fun for you.
It is a lot of fun, man. Every night I get to put on a pair of blue suede shoes, strap on that gold top, and I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, December 4th, 1956.
And, of course, then Branson moves a little bit to a different state, becomes Sun Records, and the magic that happened with those performers in those early days of rockabilly, rock and roll, country, it all kind of blended together, and their personalities really shone through.
Yes, they do. I mean, if you listen to the original recording, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff like you do in our show, man. You hear stuff, influences from gospel to Chuck Berry songs to you know, Johnny Cash, his Folsom Prison Blues. I love the way we do it, the show. It makes me feel like I'm listening to the live record, you know, with Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison, Carl, and all of us with us. And they're just cool little moments to it, you know, and it's a wonderful thing to get to do. It's an honor, man, is what it is.
Well, it sure is, and also joining us this morning, I get to talk with Cliff Wright and Mr. Johnny Cash, the man in black himself. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and any time that I get to, at least by way of radio, put myself in a performance hall in Branson, it's a good thing.
It's definitely a blessing, that's for sure.
It is. Cliff, you sound a little bit like Mr. Cash, and I'm sure it's not a big stretch for you to pick up his persona and give us a little bit of who Johnny Cash is and or was.
Well, being from Alabama, that helps me kind of sound like him, but I think the biggest thing is the morning interviews really make me sound like him. One of those guys who just enjoyed life, you know, from hunting or fishing or, you know, playing music. I mean, he always kind of stayed the same all the way through, you know, and the way he would deliver songs, you could really tell that he believed what he was singing.
It does, and it shows through whether it, it was Folsom Prison or whether it was a gospel song. You could tell it was coming through his throat, but it started somewhere in his heart, I think.
Right. I always said that his voice was like a shotgun. You might pull the trigger and it might go a long ways, but it's always going to land right exactly where it's supposed to. And that was just the way he sang, and that's pretty hard to do.
It is.
You know, in the show, you know, we touch on a lot of his character as well as the Carl Perkins and the other guys. But the Johnny Cash thing, I mean, is really, really cool to me. You know, like I said, being from Alabama and all, just being able to kind of touched the roots of the gospel music, because, you know, he came to Sun Records, you know, he was wanting to do a gospel thing, and I mean, they cut some gospel things there, but they just would never put anything out on him, and I think that was where his biggest, you know, passion was, the same way for Elvis.
You're probably right, and of course, a record studio is a recording company, and they're going to try to produce whatever is going to produce the most sales on their label, and so I can kind of put myself in their shoes and say, I don't know what other tracks were unreleased, but I sure like the ones that they did release all four artists, but particularly like a Johnny Cash, the things that they produced from Sun Records, it was good music.
It really, really was, you know, and the one thing about that music is how simple it was back then. Like today's radio, you know, I mean, you can't hear a song that doesn't sound, you know, a lot of times, not all cases, but you can't hear a song that doesn't sound just like the one that just played before it. Where back then, all those songs and the way they would deliver them all had its own specific entity.
Well, it goes to the same thing that we're doing with our movies. If something is a movie hit, let's go 15 sequels that look just like it, and then the four other franchises will do something just like it. And we get tired of that when it's on the movie that was originally hit. You're right, we do the same thing with our music. But the folks at Sun Records, among the first really big recording studios in what they did and how they sounded, it was a whole... I don't know, just treasure trove of good people, established artists, up-and-coming artists, brand-new one-hit wonders, but they had a good stable of talent. At least it seems that way to me.
Right, yeah, they really did. I mean, especially after Elvis came in, and then Carl came in, then Johnny, and then later Jerry Lee. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, back then you only had Sam Phillips, and you had... Marion Kosker, who was his secretary, you know, he was literally driving state to state with records in the back of his car, going up and trying to sell them to people and trying to get them put on the DJ or played on the radio station with all the DJs. And at the time, they'd say, okay, we'll play your record, and they'd take it, throw it in the garbage after he left.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they probably wish they'd have kept those records.
Absolutely. Brad, I'm Carl Perkins. Just a legend as far as early 50s and 60s music. The stuff that he did is still being played by other artists today. And it's just good, fun music to listen to.
Absolutely, buddy. Carl Perkins influenced on rock and roll guitar. I mean, the Beatles were huge Carl Perkins fans. And that's just naming one. You know, Johnny Cash's song, Daddy Sang Bass, Carl wrote that. He was a great songwriter as well as a musician and just a rock and roller, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, a lot of it was based on around the 12-bar blues form, but the way they could craft a melody I think deliver a lyric, it was just, they were... unique in what they did and how they do it. That's for the four of you to get the chemistry going on stage. I know it's a scripted, you know, production. It's a play. It's a musical. But the interaction between you guys is fresh and new every time you do it.
Absolutely, because you know, in real life, and like me and Cliff are, you know, Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash are really good friends, man. And we play the parts like that on stage. They all were good friends with each other, but you know. Carl Perkins worked for Johnny Cash in later years, you know, after he left Sun and all of it. The Johnny Cash Show was once big, and, you know, it's lots of fun, man. I don't know. That's about all I can say to you, buddy, and that's great.
Cliff, you got anything to add to just the fun part of what you guys do?
I'd just like to say that I'm a big Brad Waters fan. No. I think the big thing, I think Brad kind of covered it, and the show is, yes, it is scripted and everything, but keep in mind, the story is basically, they took about 18 months worth of events and condensed those down to this show, and every time we go on stage, we never quite do it the exact same, even though it's the same music, same cues and all that, we always deliver the lines like we're delivering to each other. It's not like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to deliver this line just like Johnny Cash would, because you don't really know how those things would happen. But I think this show itself has so much chemistry on it, and it's just, it's amazing that every show we do is always like the first one. And we've done probably close to 500 shows now.
Wow, that's
never gotten old yet.
And I think that, you know, that's the magic of what you do and performers like you guys that are in the minds of the audience, you know, making Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash and all these famous people that most of us grew up listening to, either first time, second time, or 15th time around. Maybe it was something that our folks played. It doesn't really matter. We have an appreciation for that music and the people that created that sound. And again, all the folks at Sun Records that established artists the old-fashioned way. You talked about, you know, driving around to the radio stations and trying to get, well, on a morning show interview ideally, or you know, give away a few copies of a record to get things going. Those songs were all mixed down not to sound good on the radio. They were mixed down by you know, somebody at that a particular studio, depending on who we're talking to. They were mixed down to sound good on those Wurlitzer jukeboxes.
Right. Yeah, they love those acetate machines.
Yes, they do. Well, this I know we got two more guys that we're going to be talking to as far as the entire show, but the audience comes to you guys. Of course, we go to Branson to have a good time, and I think you guys deliver. I haven't seen your show, but I've seen all the reviews, and I've talked to a couple of good friends who have seen it twice, and next time I get down there, my wife and I are going to pick up tickets for that one, but you guys, the four of you, have got to have just a lot of fun. How do you get tickets for the show?
Did I lose you?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Brad, go ahead and tell me how you get tickets for
Well, I believe you can go to Cliff, if I'm not mistaken on this, man. I think you can go
ahead and
straighten out on it. But
yeah, we're all still here.
Branson.com is where you go to get your tickets. You know, schedule is it fluctuates a little bit through this year. You know, in July, we're working, this month, we're working every other day. So, and we're off on Mondays and Fridays, and they're all 8 p.m. shows.
Yeah, it's a good schedule. It really is. And I think people can take a long weekend in Branson, and whether they see you at the first half or the last half of that long weekend, it's going to be a good show. I think we lost Cliff, but just to sum it up for us, is there a favorite song that just when it comes down to that particular part of the show that you're just saying this is what people came for?
Well, we started off with Blue Suede Shoes, and I can't help but that be my favorite song that we do when we start off, you know. But there's so many great ones all the way through it. There's little clips, you know, like I was saying earlier, like when Folsom Prison Blues happens, or That's All Right, Mama, or Great Balls of Fire, you know. All those songs, you know, they're just such little epic moments to me, just as big as Blue Suede Shoes. So the whole show itself is just, I love it, man. I love my job, and I love what I do, and I love to see people smile at the end, and they're excited to come back again, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the four songs that you mentioned, I think those are certainly four that define the four artists of the Million Dollar Quartet. Did they ever perform on the same stage, all four of them together?
You know, I don't believe they did. I've never heard of it, you know, if it happened, but that would have been something to see, so if you going to Branson, you can kind of get an idea of what it would have been like.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just takes me, I don't know, all of a sudden the Righteous Brothers song, Rock and Roll Heaven, comes in mind. So I guess we'll have to wait for that performance.
That's right.
Well, listen, I'm sorry that we lost Cliff, but Brad, I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you and Cliff, too, if you can pass it along to him. But somewhere along the line, technology apparently failed us, and I'm sorry that we lost his half of the connection. But tickets are available for the Million Dollar Quartet, and I think your show runs all the way through into the Christmas season, am I right?
It does. It runs all the way to the end of Christmas season. I believe you're correct. I'm not sure if we go all the way to New Year's this year or not, but we definitely go up into December.
Okay, well, we will send a bunch of people your way. It's just a nice 3.5 or so hour drive from where we're listening this morning, and certainly something that people can easily do and pick up tickets and have themselves a great time.
Absolutely, Doug. Absolutely.
Well, Brad and Cliff, again, thank you so much for calling in this morning on K1. Look forward to talking to the other two members of the Million Dollar Quartet on a different morning, and we'll, again, just send people your way. And you're at the Welk Resort Theater. Showtimes, again, I believe it's an 8 o'clock show?
8 p.m., that's correct.
Okay. Thank you so much. Half of the Million Dollar Quartet with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.